prison ministry. And I want to take a moment and just pray for John Slayton. John, and were you there today by yourself, or did was you? So today was a day for John to go and minister to those on death row. And think about this, these death row inmates, he's bringing words of life to those who are facing death, and they're facing near certain punishment for crimes. But a number of them have come to the Lord in prison. And so his report is often it's like there's enthusiasm there. Because, I mean, it's a mystery, isn't it? I mean, if I were on death row, I think I would just be pitiful. But there are a number of people who have come to the Lord there, and they see beyond their own punishment and their own crimes. And they see the power of redemption working in their lives. But it's important for us to be supporting this ministry. So John, can you come up here? Just stand right up here. Kevin, would you come as well? Sandy, and I want you guys to pray. I'm going to pray too. Eric, I want to ask you to come up. June, can you come up too? So let's just gather around them, if we can, and just would you, congregation, mind just standing up and just extending your hand towards them? And I want us just to pray God's blessing on them, that they would be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, so they go and they can minister with the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you said that when we go to the prison and we visit there, it's visiting you. And I pray, Lord, that your servants would feel that joy of fellowshipping with you, that you would fill them up with your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint them for this ministry, and keep them full and keep them with fresh manna from heaven, that you would be speaking to them and encouraging them, that you would show them how to pray and how to intercede for the prisoners, how to minister to them, and how to receive from them as well. And Lord, let it be that they don't grow weary of their well-doing, but they become stronger and stronger. And that this investment that they make in serving you, in serving your kingdom, brings eternal reward. Thank you, Lord, for using them as ministers of mercy, bringing the good news of forgiveness, of redemption, of healing and reconciliation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for John and his leadership. Thank you for June and his faithful service. Thank you for the others who serve as well. Lord, continue, we pray, to pour your goodness out upon them. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. 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 Don't sit down yet. Valentina, Yevgeny, and Daniel, will you come up here? We're going to pray for you too. Stand right here, in the middle. Is that all right? You're not prepared. It's perfect.
That's a rare thing.
So let's just pray over this wonderful family who serves the Jewish people so faithfully and serves the Lord so faithfully. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Yevgeny, thank you for Valentina, thank you for Daniel, for the way that they show your love and your faithfulness to our Russian-speaking brothers and sisters. The way they serve with commitment and with dedication, with love and with consistency. Lord, we thank you that you have filled their hearts with eternal life, that it overflows from them to others. And I pray, Lord, for your encouragement and your provision for them. I lift up Daniel to you. You know the things that are on his heart, the things he needs. And I'm asking, Lord, for your great provision for him. That he would see that you are the Lord who supplies. And that he would lack nothing for the things that you've called him to. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this family. We also pray about the selling of their house. Because they desire to move, and we ask, Lord, that you would just work all that out in your very best way. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Sure. Sure, while we're at it, let's pray for the rabbis in Ukraine. The three rabbis who visited us this summer will be coming back in January. And so let's just lift them up if we can do that. Okay. And their congregations, Lord, we lift up to you Rabbi Yuri and Rabbi Alexander and Rabbi Victor, and we pray that you would just pour into them in this season, even as they're getting, as they've gone to bed and they're sleeping tonight. That you would fill them up with your spirit and you would encourage them. We pray that you would give them something strong for their Shabbat service tomorrow. And we pray that you would make them ready for the time they're going to spend at the Rabbis Conference here in January and in our congregation and with us. And we ask, Lord, that you would do a mighty work among them. Lord, fill them up with courage. Strengthen their identity as Jews. That they would call others into a strong identity too. Help them build Messianic Jewish synagogues that become stronger and stronger in serving you. We pray your blessings upon them in the mighty name of Yeshua. And let's lift up all those who listen by podcast. Because, you know, we've got tens of thousands of people who connect with our congregation that way. And we hear from a number of them every week. Many of them are in places where there aren't Messianic synagogues, or they're in countries where there aren't Messianic synagogues. And some of them want to start something in their city, and it's our hope that we can encourage them for that. So, Lord, we lift up to you all those people who join us through the wonderful service of podcasts and the way that people can listen all over the world because of digital media. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak into their hearts. We pray also for those who are called to be shepherds of the house of Israel, and who have a calling of leadership upon their lives, and who are being stirred to do something. And I pray, Lord, for these different men and women, Lord, who have made that known to us and who want to go forward and they need to get themselves ready. I pray you would equip them by your Spirit. You would equip them in their character, that they would be ready to serve in a new way. And you would give them the safety of a solid vision and understanding, where they wouldn't be unstable, they wouldn't be tossed to and fro by everything that might come their way. That they might apprehend something solid, something safe, that they could read Torah, they could read the prophets and the writings of the apostles, and take those words to heart. And build solidly on the foundation of your sure word. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you guys for joining us up here. You know, sometimes the purpose of a congregation is accomplished in worship. Sometimes it's accomplished in prayer. We study the Word, we read the Word, we learn the Word for very important reasons. And I hope that you love the Word of God. And that not only is it interesting to you, but that it shapes your life and how you spend your time, how you think, and how you feel. And so let me speak about the last thing, and then, you know, I don't even know if we're going to have time for my message. I have 4 messages prepared for tonight from this week's Parsha, and I knew I wasn't going to give all 4. The only question was I going to give even 1? That was a question for me. We'll see, won't we? But I want to give you an update on a situation I spoke about last week. I had the opportunity this morning to meet with Father Taponi, who is the priest of the Syriac Catholic church, St. Ephrem, that is on Kernan Boulevard here in Jacksonville. And I can't really describe it. I tried to tell Sandy about it today, and it was hard to put into words, but it felt like it was a holy meeting when we got together. And I felt that I should go to his church and see his church and be there and bring a message to him myself on behalf of the congregation and tell him that many of us have been moved and touched by their suffering and the suffering of the Iraqi Christians in Baghdad who were attacked just a few weeks ago. Murdered. Yes. And attacks continue in different ways, even at different houses. It's a terrifying experience. And I felt that he needed to know that there were people who cared and wanted to stand with him. So I came bringing that message. And I wanted to know, what can we do? And so I'm going to give you just a little summary of his answer. And then I don't know whether he's going to come here in the next few weeks and share. He asked if he could come and visit, because he's never been in a synagogue. And he wants to. And I said, if he comes, I want him to speak to us and share some things with us. So I hope we can work that out soon. But let me tell you the immediate things. I had been reading some of the things that Iraqi Christians are saying in these days, and there seem to be two basic points of view. One says that the Iraqi Christians need to flee the country and just move out of Iraq. And the others say they need to stay, that this is, you know, this is the land that they've lived in for hundreds and hundreds of years, in some cases thousands, and that it's their land too, and that they need to fight to stay. So I asked him what his position was, and he said, we need to go. And his perspective, which I can only capture a little bit of, is that it will take hundreds of years to turn around the thinking that is motivating the murderous fanaticism of that radical Islam right now, and that it won't happen quickly. It's not a country with a democratic heritage. It's not a country that's accustomed to standing up for the rights of the oppressed, for instance, or to giving voice to minority perspectives and groups. It's a country that's been at war in different ways internally. But even so, in times past, Christians lived there in peace, in relative peace. But Father Toponi told me that he remembered how the Jews were driven out in a similar circumstance. That there was a time when Jews were able to live in Iraq and in Baghdad and the surrounding areas for centuries in safety. And then things changed. And, you know, maybe the turning point was the founding of the State of Israel in some ways. In some ways it was before, because there were hostilities in the Arab world you know, for much longer than that. And there were dangers that Jews in the Arab world were facing. But there came a point where the Jews just had to go. And they went. And because of that, they survived. And he feels the same is the case for the Christians there. That in order to survive, they're going to have to leave that country. And as much as they love Iraq, they want to be able to live in peace. They want their children not to be at risk of murder. They want to be able to worship without being afraid that at any given moment, terrorists will come in and murder again. And so it's understandable what he said we can do, because I wanted to know specifically what can I do, and he wants help in going to our congressional delegation, going together and speaking about the need to secure refugee status for the Iraqi Christians right now so that they can come into the United States with the special protection of refugees. And so I agreed that I would do that. And he also asked if I could go with him to some other organizations that help refugees get resettled, because their own church can probably sponsor 30, 35 families coming over, but you know there are thousands that need to come. And I remember the condition that the Russian-speaking Jews faced in the Soviet Union, and how it took sponsorship on this side. It took the law changing so that Jews could come as refugees, as did Pentecostals and Baptists. And coming as religious refugees and getting special asylum here and special protection. But they needed not only the ability to enter the country, but they needed help to get settled as well. And so, given his understanding that they cannot stay there, he was asking for help. And I agreed to do what I can in that regard. Someone had suggested that we find a way of mourning with them, saying Kaddish, for instance, mourner's Kaddish. Patty had that idea. It was a good idea. Others suggested that we bring them a meal, you know, as you would bring those in mourning, a meal. And I told him a little bit about that. And let me tell you what he proposed. And he had a very specific, concrete request. And that he asked if we could come on December 5th to their church, because it's their custom after someone dies to have 40 days of mourning, and then following that, they have what they call a mercy meal, which is a meal of comfort. And so he invited us as a congregation to come. And I offered to help with the meal. Of course, we don't know how to cook what they want to eat, you know, their traditional food. So I don't know. Matzo ball soup. Yeah, that's a big favorite there. but, you know, I think we're going to be able to do something. And his practical suggestion was that they'll form a committee, we'll form a committee, and those two committees will work out all the details. I thought, now there's a good idea. So we're going to be putting together a committee in the next few days that will organize our service to them. So think about it this way, because I want to give you like a picture of something in the spirit. On the evening of December 1st, Hanukkah begins. And that's a time when we're celebrating how God delivered us from those who wanted us destroyed and did not want us to live as Jews, because they made laws that forbade circumcision, that forbade owning a Torah, and they defiled the temple that we worshipped in Jerusalem. And they demanded that we bow down to false gods. And so Hanukkah is a time when we are celebrating God's victory over such efforts to destroy our identity and our calling, and to keep us from fulfilling God's calling in our lives. So on December 1st, in our homes and among family and friends, we'll light the Hanukkiahs, the Hanukkiot, and we will usher in the first day of Hanukkah. And then on Friday night, which is the 3rd, we're going to continue in that. And at our Shabbat services, we'll light the the Hanukkah candles as well. Then Saturday morning we'll have a service. Then Saturday at 5 o'clock on the 4th, we'll have a special Hanukkah party for our Russian-speaking congregation that unites us and allows us to serve one another. And then the next morning on Sunday, December 5th, while we're celebrating Hanukkah, we will go to St. Ephraim's, those that can and want to. And we will bring compassion and solidarity to them. Father Toponi said that it really touched him that I would come and talk to him and bring this message to him. And he said that it's terribly frustrating to be in this situation where a great tragedy is happening and where continued tragedy is expected to unfold. And most people don't even know about it. And those that hear about it don't even take notice of it. And instead, what's in the news is Prince Andrew's wedding. And he said it's fine to talk about that once, but that's not so important. And then he said something that, I mean, it was sort of like the same thing that was going on in my heart. He said, it's one thing to receive care from people who love you and know you. And he quoted Yeshua, as you know, who said, everyone can love, you know, their friends. He said, it's altogether different to receive care from people who don't even know you. And so it touched him that we, as a community, care, even though we don't know them. And something of the Holy Spirit was at work in our conversation that was very, very powerful. And I had written to him that I was a messianic rabbi, that we're a messianic synagogue. And just to make it simple, I said, we have a synagogue with Jewish families who believe in Jesus. And he was so touched by the fact that Jews were coming to stand with him. He wasn't sure we really believed in the Messiah. But his appreciation of the Jewish people is strong. And his understanding of our shared traditions and history is strong. And his sense of solidarity in some way with the Jewish people is growing stronger and stronger as he compares it to the hostility coming from the Muslim community where they are. And so he asked a question, you know, in the gentlest of ways about something. Because I said to him, you know that our synagogue is not traditional. But we are Jews and we are non-Jews who are together. And keeping a Jewish synagogue, but being united together. And we believe in Jesus. I just thought I'd say it fine, you know, say it that way. Even though now that I'm thinking about it, they use the Aramaic New Testament, not the Greek. And so in their New Testament, he's Yeshua. You know, I should have thought of that. I don't know what my problem was. Isn't that interesting? So he said, well, sort of like, how do you believe? Do you believe he's a prophet or a, you know, he was looking for words and he said, or the Son of God. And I said, oh, we believe he was the Son of God. He was Messiah, that he rose from the dead, that he paid the price through his death for our sins. And, you know, I went on and said a few things and it was like, wow, for him and for me. And so here you've got an Arab-speaking Iraqi Christian who is part of a 2,000-year tradition. Think about this. Our Jewish apostles brought the gospel to that part of the world. They even went as far as India, as I understand, and north up perhaps into Ireland. We had some good apostles, you know. So they are part of a tradition that goes way, way back. Sort of like ours. And they are tiny like we are, in a sense. But nevertheless, entrusted with riches from God. And holding on to truths and understandings that others may have neglected, forgotten, or never given attention to, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the Lord. And so it was just a marvelous, marvelous time together. And I know that God is at work through this. This doesn't fit into your normal, have a nice American pastor's breakfast and we'll all pretend we're in unity kind of thing. It's a little bit more serious than that. And we don't know what we're getting into, do we? But you know, this is the stuff of which the Holy Spirit delights to initiate and then to fulfill. And so, I feel like Garrison Keillor, who was down in St. Augustine recently. So that's the news from Lake Wobegon. But something is astir, and I encourage you, be reading your Bible and let God speak to you from the Word so that you will have a word in season for those who are mourning. Let the Word of God be active and alive in you, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to separate from things in your soul and things in your spirit, and to divide bone from marrow, and you know, marrow inside the bone. This is the place where the blood is renewed and formed. Even though the bone seems to be just rigid and hard, that marrow is full of life. And God is able to separate out the things of structure and the things that are life-giving. And He's able to work it all for good. And so I'm saying to you, be in the Word, be mighty in the Word so that you can stand, so that you can give an explanation to others. That's one thing. But even more than that, so that you can be touched by the things that touch those who walked with the Lord, who followed God, who were faithful to God. And then you will be able to give to others what God gives to you. And if you do that, you know what? You're going to be able to reach all kinds of people, all kinds of Jews, and all kinds of people. There is a truth in the Messianic movement. If you stay faithful to the call to bring the good news to the Jewish people, God will let you touch many, many nations, many cultures, and draw together people of diverse backgrounds and diverse futures. If you'll do that. And so we're committed to that. Well, time's up. So that's my message tonight. And I'm sorry it didn't fit in the normal framework. And my apology is only half-hearted. It's half sincere and half-hearted and half insincere. What can I say? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that there's a calling on this congregation to be an agent of mercy on your behalf. And we show mercy, Lord, to our Russian-speaking brothers and sisters. We show mercy to the prisoners. We show mercy to the Jewish people. We show mercy to the nations. And we show mercy, Lord, to those who are being led to slaughter and suffering. To those who are mourning, we bring a word of comfort. To those who are imprisoned, we bring a word of freedom in the Spirit. And we always bring the word of your Son, the good news of Messiah Yeshua, who made it possible for us not only to believe, but to be faithful. And in his name we pray. Amen. All right, let's close with Aaron's blessing. I did. Sandy just reminded me that I forgot to mention our ministry in Budapest to Holocaust survivors that's led by Kati Shua, who is Roma or Tsigane if you speak Hungarian, or Gypsy if you don't. And she has been serving Holocaust survivors for just over 10 years in Budapest and is a faithful servant and is part of our greater community as well. And you'll only see her if you go over there, I think. Maybe she'll come one day. We'll see. But God is doing a great work through this congregation. And I just pray, Lord, Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. And the Lord protect you that you might stand up and protect others. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you that you could shine on others. The Lord be gracious to you that you could show favor to others. The Lord lift up his face to you and keep you in his sight that you could look out for others. And the Lord give you peace. In Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom.